This is Radio Boston. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. It's day three of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, and in a few moments, we'll take your calls in a conversation about Hillary Clinton's nomination as the first woman to lead a major party in the United States. But first, we'll touch down in the city of brotherly and sisterly love, where Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders spoke this morning to Massachusetts delegates, urging, if not love, at least Democratic Party brotherhood to ensure the defeat of Republican nominee Donald Trump.
Trump wants to cut programs for working people, nothing to do about that. But I'll tell you what is different about Trump and what is dangerous about Trump. Trump is a demagogue.
Joining us now with more from the convention center is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, Indira.
So you were at the Massachusetts delegates' breakfast today where Bernie Sanders, Senator Ed Markey, and some others spoke. Tell us what came out of it.
Well, Sanders continued to do what he's been doing all week, urging delegates, including his supporters, that it's imperative to unite and defeat Donald Trump. You know, he also said his movement will continue, that he wants to keep all the young people his campaign attracted engaged in politics. He wants them to run for office. And he said the day after the election, his focus will be advancing his progressive agenda. And the response was, on the whole, very positive. Some of his delegates said they'll support Clinton, but they won't work for Clinton. But here's State Senator Dan Wolf. He's a Sanders delegate, and he liked very much what he heard.
There is real harmony right now at this moment around beating Donald Trump. That is an absolute unifying theme. So we have to be focused and unified for the next 100 days.
So, Indira, it really feels like this convention, in a way, has moved on from the Sanders, the division with Sanders supporters.
All right. Well, let's talk about last night. It was an emotional evening, starting with this roll call vote for Hillary Clinton, capped off by Bernie Sanders himself moving to nominate her by acclamation, just as she did for Barack Obama 8 years ago. What was it like?
It was, you know, really something. It really felt like a turning point at this convention. During the roll call, there were still lots of cheers for Sanders, scattered boos for Clinton. But as the process moved forward toward the nomination, you could really feel the energy change in the room and sort of shift decisively and emotionally toward Clinton. And then, as you mentioned, this powerful piece of political theater. There was Sanders back on the floor with the Vermont delegation. I was right across from the delegation. I could see all this. You know, he moved to suspend the rules, nominate Clinton by acclamation. You know, this is an effort to really convince his supporters that his campaign was over and it was time to move on and support Clinton. Thunderous cheers as well as tears. You could see Sanders was deeply moved. It was a pretty extraordinary scene. I don't think I've ever witnessed a political scene quite like that. It was something.
Well, also the really emotional thing that I noticed on the television footage anyway was a lot of women in the audience wiping their eyes and, you know, seemingly moved. You had female politicians speaking. You know, a lot of emotion about Hillary being the first woman to head a major political party. But later in the evening, Hillary's husband, Bill Clinton, number 42, spent 42 minutes telling his wife's life story to the American public. Let's listen to a moment where he spoke about the first time they met back in 1971 at the Yale Law Library.
She walked the whole length of the library, came up to me and said, "Look, if you're going to keep staring at me," and now I'm staring back, "we at least ought to know each other's name. I'm Hillary Rodham. Who are you?" I was so impressed and surprised that, whether you believe it or not, momentarily I was speechless.
Well, it's hard to think of the big dog himself ever being speechless, but, you know, he's given us this meet-cute moment like the start of a Hollywood rom-com. How did Bill Clinton's speech go over in the room? Did he succeed in creating a warm image of a woman who, let's face it, has had a rough ride with the media and has had trouble talking about herself in public?
Yeah, you know, I think his speech was very well received by the delegates. I was struck by this. I mean, from the very first line of his speech, which I'm going to read. "Back in 1971, I met a girl." The auditorium felt absolutely silent. And until then, you know, this convention hall had been loud, fractious, noisy. But you could hear a pin drop. And Clinton has always had this ability, whether he's addressing 10 people or 10,000 people, to make you feel like he's talking right to you. He doesn't always hit that note, but boy, he was on last night, and the delegates loved it. He told a very personal story about his wife, their courtship, her long career in advocacy and then politics, describing her as the ultimate change maker. I'm sure it helped fill out a sort of fuller portrait of Hillary Clinton, but the challenge remains. It's her challenge tomorrow to do more of that herself.
All right, before we get to that, we just have a couple seconds left. President Obama is going to take the dais tonight. What can we expect in a few moments? Tell us.
Well, this speech comes 12 years to the day from his big speech in Boston during John Kerry's convention. You know, he's going to say a lot about his record over the past 8 years, continue to make the case for Hillary Clinton, and really set the stark choice voters will face between her and Donald Trump in November.
All right, that's WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks at the DNC in Philadelphia. Thanks so much, Anthony.
Always a pleasure, Indira.